So, maybe you've got a great idea for a business and want to start selling your products or services online. Maybe you're an established business owner looking for new customers. Or maybe you're interested in starting a new personal website. No matter who you are, GoDaddy wants to help you succeed online. Right now, GoDaddy is offering a .com domain for just $149, people. $149, okay? Not $149, $1.49. Go to GoDaddy.com and enter promo code WWC149. That is WWC149 to get your $1.49.com. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Okay, thank you. Bye, guys.
Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens? Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all the crap we'd love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Caron from Trash Talk TV, and I'm here with Ben from B-Side Blog, Ben Mandelker. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Ronnie.
Ben, it is so good to hear your voice.
It is better to hear your voice. And let me tell you something. I just gulped down an entire grande iced coffee while we were recording our bonus episode, so I am wired and ready to go.
Oh, no. I just took down an entire tub of green tea, and I feel the same. I'm like a goat. I mean, a cow. I mean, like a moose.
I'm like a goat.
It's really hard to get anything to work on me. I have to drink more. I have to eat more. I have to take more drugs. It's just not fair, Ben.
You have to fight more crime.
Totally. Solve more mysteries.
Hang out with more squirrels.
Yeah. So you can find our social media links and et cetera. We have a new watchwhatcrappens.com page. It's basically just a place for you guys to go find us on our social media if you are so inclined. You can also find our Patreon link there. It's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's where you can become a premium subscriber and get bonuses like ringtones, Google Hangout that we do with you guys every month, and bonus episodes. So just go check out all the different donation things there. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And by the way, I'm sorry to interject. I just want to clarify that Patreon is spelled Patreon, because someone messaged me and was like, I can't get to Patreon. They were spelling it incorrectly. So that's how
it's spelled. So if you need the link to go there, just go to watchwhatcrappens.com, or there's also a link on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens, and that's where we go to read what you guys are posting to us all week, and this shit is hilarious. It gets better every week.
It does. It really does.
We just did an entire bonus episode based off of stuff that you guys have posted for us. So thank you. It's like auto
erotic fixation. Oh, no. also, I just have to say, I don't know, like, I know you guys hate it when we just sit here and promote things, but we still have to. I say it every week, and it does not change the sincerity of it. Really very flattered and appreciative of everyone who has donated so far. We hit $500 this week, which is halfway to our first goal of hitting $1,000 per episode, which means, and again, when we hit $1,000 per episode, we'll have two full episodes of Watch What Crappens a week. That's not like a bonus episode situation. It's like two real episodes. The idea is ultimately get up to do four full episodes. Like, we would be doing this full time. It would actually be like a radio show at that point. But that's down the line, you know? But very flattered and like very, very thankful.
Yes. Thank you guys so much. And to show how appreciative we are, we won't plug anything else. We'll just get on with the show.
Yeah. Well, actually, I do have something to plug, but it actually is appropriate to the show. It doesn't have anything to do with our social networks. I've been writing stuff for Ranker.com. I mentioned this last week when we had this whole discussion about best hair of the housewives. This week, my assignment was to do a list of the best real housewives of all time. And so I compiled a list, and I think everyone should go over and check it out because you can vote. So the women will go up and down depending on the votes.
But it was also like on our Facebook.
Yeah, it was like super fun to compile because I love making lists and I love comparing these women. Obviously, this is not really a spoiler. Lisa Vanderpump was in first place, you know, and I think she'll probably stay there. But it'll be fun to see how everyone else goes up and down that list. I'd love to hear everyone's input, etc. So that link is already on our Facebook page.
Yeah, so go vote.
Yeah.
But you guys, it's your duty as Americans.
And it's, you know, by the way, it's like really hard, you know, just, I guess it's funny when we talk about these Real Housewives shows, it's so hard to decide what makes a best Real Housewife, you know? Is it because we like them? Is it like Lisa Vanderpump where she's sort of like effortlessly, you know, awesome and hilarious and she's got a dry wit? Or do you put someone like Tamra on there because she's so awful, like you would hate her in real life. She's one of the most hateful people of all time.
No, she's gross. I would say if I had to do it, I would say that you would do it because they have to be loaded, right? Because that's the point of the show. They have to be genuinely loaded and they have to have some semblance of class. And they have to be also bitchy, but not horrible to where you hate them. So I think that's why Lisa wins, because she's loaded.
Yeah.
She's a bitch, but she's a funny bitch, so we're still on her side. And she's classy. And she's not an evil witch, just like living in a condo and trying to like bring people down so she can get more money or more gym memberships.
Right. But, you know, I also put people like Teresa Giudice and Danielle Staub on there because it's like – they're awful, horrific people, but they're almost like you can't have the housewives without them. Like that makes them kind of best housewives material, right?
You don't
think so?
Mm-mm. I mean, maybe if it was best villains or something like that.
Yeah. Well, Danielle Staub currently is lingering at the very bottom of the list. she's in last place with Tamra, not far behind, and Kim Zolciak. But so yeah, I guess the people will deter, but like someone like Kenya Moore, you know, like
awful bitch, awful terrible human being.
But at the same time, it's like, oh, thank God she's there.
Yeah, and really funny, and brings a lot to the table. But man, what a horrible human being.
God, thank God for Bravo for really making us think about things.
Yeah, thanks, Bravo. You're really pulling us deep. Yeah. Pulling us into the deep end.
Yeah, exactly.
So speaking of Teresa, we'll start off with a little gossip.
By the way, speaking of Teresa, light Ebola attack. Speaking of Teresa, let me expunge something from my lungs.
Excuse me, I'm pooping and I'm vomiting myself to death from Ebola while we talk about Teresa. But speaking of Teresa.
Speaking of bloody tears,
she got fired by her crisis manager this week, which to me is hilarious.
It's a crisis unto itself.
Because all I know really about crisis management is what I see on Scandal. And I mean, when does Olivia Pope fire you? You've really got to fuck up. And basically, this crisis manager is all pissed off because Teresa filed a motion without her permission to ask if she could get transferred to the same jail that Orange is the New Black is filmed in, which is such a bizarre story.
What? I didn't even know Orange is the New Black was filmed at like a functional jail.
Or it's based on it or something.
Oh, based. Okay.
So I don't know why she wanted to move there. It's in Connecticut. I don't understand why. I don't understand.
Is that the one
story,
that's in
really.
Like, is that the one that Martha Stewart was at? Like Camp Cupcake or whatever?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what they nicknamed it, Camp Cupcake.
Yeah, because I can imagine somebody telling Teresa, oh, you got to go to the same jail Martha Stewart did. Remember the poncho? They'll love you there. So actually, that makes more sense now. So well, I was like, how would she fucking know which jail? But I guess that's a stupid question.
I can't help but think that now that she is down a crisis manager, like she has no one else to turn to except Kim D. And Kim D will be her new crisis manager. And she's like, okay, here's what we're going to do, okay? We're just going to invite the judge and all the jurors and all the reporters to a fashion show, okay? And then you and Melania are going to walk down the runway and everything's going to be okay. It'll be great. We'll serve Fabellini's and you'll be out in like 3 days.
I'll make sure Melissa's in the show too and her dress doesn't fit and everyone's going to laugh at her and then I'm going to tell one of the waiters she was a stripper and then everyone's going to know by the end of the party and everyone's going to be talking about her vagina instead of your jail trip and then you can sneak out the back and you'll be safe forever. No one will even know who you are anymore.
And your brother has a small penis. Your brother has a small penis. And I'm even going to invite the other Kim, whatever the other Kim was, the old lady Kim. Kim G.
Kim Granitelle.
You know, Kim Granitelle is going to be like, you know that basically what's good. I'm actually a little surprised that when Teresa and Joe walked out of the courthouse, that Kim Granitelle didn't come running up through the crowd like Casey Wilson in Gone Girl and be like, you want to go to jail? What happened to the millions of dollars? You know?
Where's your wife, Ben Affleck? Where's your wife? What did you do to your pregnant wife?
Where's your other daughter, Teresa? Doesn't even make sense.
Who's that daughter that doesn't look like any of you, Teresa?
You know, Kim Ji is totally the type of person who would, like, she's going to, like, be standing at, like, when Teresa rolls up in the bus at the jail, Kim Grantel's going to be there with a poster and be like, give back the money! Give back the money!
So, while we're on Kim Grantel, we could save this to the Real Housewives recap, but I do want to talk about her, because I think one aspect that we haven't talked about yet in this whole Teresa going to jail thing is Kim Ji.
Yes.
Because one huge thing that has been going on the past couple of seasons are all these accusations that it's actually Kim who this whole time has been trying to bring Teresa and Joe down, and it finally worked. And that these authorities wouldn't have even been onto them without a bunch of evidence that Kim supposedly dug up with her friends Tom Morrow and Monica Chacon, who is one of the lawyers, I guess,
Tom
who works
Morrow.
On this
Don't
case.
Even.
And that awful, horrible hack, Tom Morrow.
So Tom Morrow is like the
what
worst.
What do you think about that? Do you think that Kim actually was behind this? Because I was reading some old stories and the accusations of Teresa saying that Jackie and Kim were working together, and Kim tweeting that she was speaking with Jackie every day.
You know what? That is such a crazy conspiracy theory, and I love it.
Like, but it's not really that crazy, because it's what Teresa has been accusing them of this whole time, and it's what Kim Grantel has been bragging about on Twitter. She's been saying that she's working to bring Teresa down with a bunch of legal documents, and she's got all this scoop, and now here we are a couple years later, and bitch is going to jail.
Isn't that amazing? Ugh, I love it. That's like very Desperate Housewives season one, you know?
Or
like, that's why I tune into nighttime soaps. A good nighttime soap, that's what it should be. Like, one housewife pisses off another, so the other one's gonna like dig up all the dirt and send her to jail. Like,
and ruin her
perfect.
Fucking life.
That's, yeah, I live for that shit. Like, and if that's true, then bravo, drop the ball for not like pursuing Kim Grantel, because that is brilliant.
The Kim Grantel thing is also fascinating, because I read I was talking to my best friend this week about all this, so we were doing a bunch of Googling on the phone, because that's what kind of lives we have.
Yeah.
And when I was Googling it, it said that Kim Grantel was on the show because she was feeding Danielle because she was letting Danielle use her limo. So she was exchanging basically a driver and a car to make Danielle look richer so that she could guest on the show. So she started in such a pathetic fashion, and she got fucked with, and then she went through all of this trouble to bring people down, you know, that she...
Well, that's the way it works. I mean, it's like, that's how it works on a nighttime soap. You know, it's always like the desperate lady, the one who's like marginalized, who's going to like make her, she's going to make her big, her big splash somehow. And you can never overlook them.
Yep.
Because you know what? Like, never, you know, a woman scorned is a woman you don't want to mess with. If there's anything we've learned about Gone Girl, and I'm going to keep on referencing that movie, if there's anything we've learned, you don't overlook a woman.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've learned that in a lot of different ways over the course of history.
Yes. Yes. Starting with Clytemnestra.
Starting with the Real Housewives of Orange County.
Starting with the Real Housewives of the Garden of Eden.
Where the Bible started, in Orange County.
Yes. Could you imagine? Don't you feel bad if all that was left of our civilization 4,000 years from now were these shows, or our recaps of the shows, and somehow whatever new civilization or species built a narrative of our lives based on this stuff? It'd be really interesting.
Yeah, they're like, Eve was in the Garden of Eden, but then she demanded to hold an orange, and God told her to stop being greedy, so she fucked over Adam and held the orange anyway, and that's where sin began.
Yeah, I'd be like, Eve invited over the other six goddesses of society for a dinner party, and then one threw wine in the other one's face, and a psychic told the other one when she was going to die, and there was a fight, and from then on there was strife in the world. I'm trying very hard to like to like shoehorn Real Housewives mythology with real mythology. And
Andy Cohen gave his only child and she was crucified on a cross, and her name was Teresa Giudice, and now we can sin in peace.
Oh, thanks.
So, yeah, that gets a little dicey. But anyway, I'm surprised I haven't heard anything about Kim G in this whole thing. And what did she have to do with this? And does she deserve credit for it? And would it be credit or would it be a lawsuit? I'm not really sure.
Well, here's why I think that Kim G has nothing to do with it. Because if she had even the slightest bit, like if she had like passed on a post-it note to the DA, Tom Morrow would have sent out an email to every single person and be like, this just in, my very good friend, Kim G, sent along a post-it note. And here's a picture of the post-it note. And it's like a low res, like 72 pixel picture of a post-it note. Be like, this just in. And here's the two of us drinking champagne while we talk about the post-it note. I don't know. If you're going to use these photos, please put all credit to Tom Morrow.
Possibly, but, you know, it is pretty bizarre that all of this happened, and she's always claimed that she's had help from Jacqueline, and now Jacqueline is back on the show suddenly. I don't know. This is just all very fishy.
Everything's
But she's still only talking about Teresa. I'm looking at her Twitter right now, and it's basically just her. Everything is at Teresa. Kim Granitel says Teresa should pick up garbage in prison. I mean, she's just awful. You know, she pay for furniture. They won't even buy a lollipop. Glad the judge saw through Teresa's BS. Stay tuned. Which bunk would you prefer, top or bottom? Oh, that's different. And still disgusting. But oh my God, dumb as wood. Don't know what plea deal means? It's called find out. Beyond stupid.
You know what? If Teresa winds up at this jail that OINTB is based on, whatever, it truly would give new meaning to the term orange is the new black, because clearly it refers to her tan, the color of her skin.
Yeah, so that's that. That's my conspiracy theory for the week. But I'm surprised we haven't heard anything yet.
Well, how about this? Normally we go through all our gossip that we haven't covered on the bonus show and then go into a recap. So why don't we just go into New Jersey and then we'll do some more gossip after New Jersey.
Well, there's actually not a whole lot of gossip left.
Well, there's the Bethany stuff. We'll talk about that after Jersey.
Okay, we'll talk about Bethany.
Stay tuned, people. First, let's talk about Jersey.
It's going to be shocking.
The big shocking Bethany gossip after the big shocking Real Housewives of New Jersey season finale.
Well, shock. Okay, shocking. So Real Housewives of New Jersey. Wow, what a way to end a dud of a season with a dud of a finale. Good job, guys.
Basically, it sucked. So here's the thing. Bravo was teasing all week long and then throughout the show some sort of confrontation between the twins and Teresa. They're like, "Are you really so dumb to believe that, Teresa? Teresa, do you have a cell in your brain, Teresa?
Prove to me you're not stupid. Prove to me that you have one tiny piece of brain left in your head, a brain's brain.
Teresa, my culotta has more brain cells than your brain. Your brain is like a culotta, but a stupid culotta, like unlike my smart culotta.
The twins are both C-words. I hate them both. I hope they die in a horrible car accident.
Although, and when you say C-word, again, you're referencing culottas.
Culottas,
okay.
Yes. They're both cunt-flavored culottas, okay? That's what I meant to say.
Cunt-lottas. Cunt-lottas. Getting misogynistic. I'm sorry, people. But it was there for the taking. I had to make the joke. Cunt-lottas. If you like pina cunt-lottas.
They're awful. And just need attention. And I don't understand how she's saying it's karma, because this was the episode where she's like, well, it's karma. Clink, clink.
She's like, you talked about my family. You should have shut it down. You should have shut it down immediately. But now,
you're going to prison and your family's ruined. So that's karma. I don't understand. Isn't karma like a balancing out? How is that balance or fairness?
And how narcissistic are you to think that, like, if someone dares speak about, like, the twins' families, that then they go to jail because their families are that, like, sacrosanct?
Well, there's two things here. The twins are cunt-lottas. and the other thing is, everything that's come out about the twins in this season, there have been two major things, and they've just denied both of them, but they just deny it and move on. It's like, I don't believe that they're both lies. First of all, Rena was the one who supposedly said something.
Yeah.
They didn't even deny it at first. She just left. She just said it was disgusting and left and said that it was disgusting that they were talking about it.
Disgusting.
The second thing was that one of the twins ruined a family. Like, she broke up a family, which obviously she was having an affair with some married guy or something.
Right.
And they just kind of glossed over that, too. So I'm wondering why these twins are so special that nobody's going after them. They can yell at everybody else, but then everybody else just backs down and says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean anything. What? Is it just because they're crazy, or?
I think we finally set some sort of moral bar in Jersey, where even despicable people like Teresa and Joe and Melissa and Joe will not even bother messing with the twins. Like, it's not even worth their time to go after them,
because they're just that lame.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're like that poor girl in school with like kind of mousy hair and too much makeup, who's giving blowjobs first. And you're like, I know you think you're so advanced, but of course everybody likes you because they're going to get their dick sucked later. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
We had some of those.
I feel like that with the twins.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty much correct and accurate. You know, and what was funny was when they were, you know, they were coming at Teresa, and they were doing it in such an obnoxious way. The way they were saying that, like, are you so stupid? But, like, I thought Teresa was going to flip it. Bravo tried to make it seem like, oh shit, things are going to go down. Like, even like Dina was like, don't call her stupid. Like, that's the one thing you don't call her. That's a trigger. And then the music was like, dun, 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 dun. And then Teresa's like, huh? No, I didn't say it like that. I didn't say it like that. Like, oh, okay, good. And it was like hugs.
The twins did have a point, I will say. When they're saying you shoot a scene with Victoria Gotti, obviously she's got something to say. Obviously you knew what she was going to say. You let her say it on TV. Okay, I get that. But, bitches, you're on a Real Housewives show, and if your husband is going around telling people that he's trying to fuck, by the way, that he's fucked your mother, then it's going to come out. You're on a Housewives show. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, so what? Who cares?
So what? Who cares? Welcome to the Real Housewives, okay?
Yeah, so, I mean, calm yourself.
Yeah, calm yourself.
But, you know, the whole thing where they're like, oh, well, if you have something to say to me, then let's fight it out between ourselves. But if it's something about my family, do not repeat it. Don't just
Let it die.
So if Teresa had not said anything after that scene and just ignored it, they would have had a fucking fit that she didn't say anything so that they could address it on TV. They would have had a cow.
Yeah.
It's unfair, people. It's unfair. That's what I'm saying.
That was like the big, like, fight. And then previously earlier on the episode, there was nothing else. I mean, Amber cut her hair because it's been 5 years since the cancer, and then her little girl cried, which, you know, was sort of funny. Not funny like laughing at her. It was like funny that the girl was like, she's like, your hair's so short now. Whatever. Melania was a terror because Melania and
she barely cut off any hair. Like, what kind of haircut is that kid going to get? It's going to be like a bowl cut of like.
Yeah. Enjoy your Annie Lennox wig. You know, it's like, enjoy your Liza Minnelli wig. She's like, I dedicated my hair to cancer victims. Someone's like, okay, I guess I'm going to be looking like Rosie now.
Mary Lou
Very Rain. Short hair.
You like how I keep it current?
No, listen, Mary Lou Retton is very current because I think about her all the time. Non-stop. But that was basically, that was like a nothing storyline. And then we had, like, Dina had her Ladybug, Project Ladybug thing at this woman. What was her name? Like Amber's? Like Amber's Farm or something like that. Or Abby's Farm. This giant house with huge dogs. Again, no story there. It was just like she was having a function. I think what was funny to me was the last 10 minutes of the show. Because the last 10 minutes of the show, it was funny. Bravo fast-forwarded to basically just like 3 weeks ago when Teresa and Joe were sentenced. And Bravo would sort of frame the entire episode, like the beginning. They show them walking out of the courthouse, and they're like, dun, 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 dun. They're trying to be like all edgy with their camera work, and they were like 6 months ago, as if like anything in the episode was going to have any bearing on the sentencing. And of course it didn't, because it was just like a Project Ladybug function. But anyway, the last 10 minutes, we fast-forwarded back again, back to October 2nd or whatever. And we have cameras at Kathy's house, and Jacqueline comes over, and they're all sitting by the phones, on their smartphones, watching the news, waiting for the sentencing. And finally, Teresa gets slammed with her 15 months. And Jacqueline starts to sob. I'm like, what the fuck are you sobbing about, Jacqueline? Okay.
You were trying to make this happen the whole time, you dumb bitch. And also, you have no tears, Connie Chung, okay? Connie Chung on a bender.
Yeah. I was just like, you spent like two and a half seasons hating Teresa, deservedly so. I was on your side, Jacqueline. And then all of a sudden, now that you're out of the spotlight, you know, and then you want sort of like be back in with like the one who is getting the good at it. Now all of a sudden you're sobbing as if this is like your sister that's been taken away. No.
Yeah, she's ridiculous. And I love when they showed the clip. I don't even think it was in this episode, but somewhere this week they showed the clip of Jackie at the reunion being like, oh yeah, remember when you told me that your husband was getting head on his desk and you walked in? I mean, stop acting like you're some sweet, innocent little friend, and you just cannot understand why no one will return your calls, Jacqueline, okay?
I know.
Dumb ho.
When she was sobbing, I was actually laughing. I was laughing at like how ridiculous. It's like, you're not going to jail, Jacqueline, okay? Like, it's a bummer.
Vultures. It's disgusting vultures. They need to get rid of this entire cast. They need to just go find a new fucked up family and film it, keep it family, and just film the family. Do that. Because these people are all disgusting. Kathy and
Rich
Jacqueline sitting there acting like they give a fuck after they've done nothing but talk shit and cause shit for years. And I'm not standing up for Teresa, okay? She's an idiot.
Yeah.
She needs to go too.
Yeah.
One of the funny things that was in our gossip thing, but I'm going to move it up here, is Heather Dubrow making a statement.
Oh, God.
Did you read that?
No, I didn't know about this.
Oh, my God. Okay, let me find it. Cindy C. posted it. It's actually really rich.
But Cindy Heather, C. posts good stuff.
Yeah, she's always got good shit. So Heather Dubrow's comments from an interview on the Giudice's, ballsy. If there was a Bravo executive who pled guilty to 41 counts of fraud, would they keep him on the payroll? Asked Heather. Absolutely not, in my opinion, but an exec would not bring viewers to the network. Hashtag priorities. Isn't Teresa a Bravo employee? At some point, are we harboring a criminal?
Ooh, I love that she's... I love that she's, you know, Heather's taken her classic high horse mentality to this situation, because I think she's finally realized this is one where she will win. She's like, there will be no Shannon Bedore to take her down. She's like, oh, this is a high horse situation where basically no one can refute me on this one, because she's right. Hashtag
well, she's
priorities.
Right, but what if they have another one of those Housewives reunion things where they have like every cast from the Housewives on at the same time? She's going to get her ass beat.
Oh, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, me too. She could use it. And little gerbil eyes.
She won't get her – she will not – first of all, she won't get her ass beat, because the moment that someone does something mildly aggressive, she is going to like back away and then make a stink about it. Honestly, someone will be like, Heather, and she'll be like, the way that she yelled at me, the way that – with the rage in her eyes, I did not feel comfortable. I did not feel comfortable. You know, she'll leave.
My children are here. Please leave.
And then you hear the sound of a chair being dragged across the floor as she leaves, taking it with her. It's my chair now.
Teresa would be like, I want to leave, but I can't. This thing will stop beeping. So that's that. So Jackie, Kathy, disgusting. Nothing shocking there. My personal favorite point of the episode was when Teresa and Joe were outside of the courtroom being followed by reporters.
Yeah.
Listening to the reporters' questions. I mean, listen, reporters, you are fucking morons, okay? Can you guys ever ask a good question? This is the reporters. Teresa, Joe, are you going to miss your children? No. No, they're not. No. Who's going to say no? Like, what a stupid question. Teresa, are you sad about going to jail? And one guy asked, Teresa, do you watch Orange is the New Black?
Yeah. That guy was obviously.
That was a real reporter question.
No, that guy was fucking with them, though, for sure.
Yeah, but they're just all horrible. It's like, what are you going to get? They're going to stop and really answer your questions? Stop. They're like, yeah. Teresa, is jail scary?
But you know what, though?
Stupid reporters.
You know what, though? Thank God for those twins. I'll rarely say that, but thank God, because they were the only ones on the episode, I think, again, who said, you know what? If you do shady things, you're going to go to jail. It's like I feel like that's getting totally lost in this. Like, Teresa's gotten such a sympathetic edit where it's like, oh no, the plight of Teresa, her family's gonna be broken up. It's like, yeah, that is like a serious thing to think about, but she did it herself.
I live in a state with medical marijuana, and my memory is very, very short. So, yeah. Teresa's rehab. I mean, to me, I've been kind of, I don't want to say feeling bad, but I've softened towards Teresa totally this season. So this week when I was on my little Google fest with my friend gossiping about all this stuff, I was horrified about how terrible she is. I mean, the first season, she's building this mansion that she's living in now.
Yeah.
The real house that she lived in is some little shack. Like, the real house is like some ghetto-ass little shack in Patterson, okay?
Yeah.
So they won't let them shoot there. They'll only let them shoot in this new house, even though it's still being built.
Right.
They never paid for it. All the shots from the paparazzi outside that house were of Joe driving a Corvette, which was never paid for. So these people never paid for shit. Then at the first reunion, and Danielle's like, oh, your house is being foreclosed on. She's like, it's not, bitch. but it was about to be because they never fucking paid for it. I mean, what the hell, man? So they make me more and more disgusted the further back I go and remember how nasty those two were.
Thank you. Yeah. Gross.
They deserve it. Bye.
They're gross. Gross, awful, awful people.
Yeah,
that need to go to jail. And I think it's good. I think it's good for society that they go to jail. I think it teaches people a lesson. Don't be awful.
Well,
don't
gone.
Steal from people. Don't steal from people. You're going to go to jail.
Some other stuff that happened Real Housewives of New Jersey-wise this week was Victoria Gotti. Victoria Gotti is firing back at Teresa Aprea and Nicole Napolitano.
Oh.
The twins appeared on Watch What Happens Live. Did you see that?
Somehow I managed to miss that.
So I was watching it because we were doing a live viewing party thing. I was doing it with Katie Cazorla, and she was so fun.
Oh, how was that?
And they tricked us by saying Real Housewives of New Jersey was an hour and a half. So everybody's DVR recorded, you know, Bravo's getting tricky with this shit. Mm-hmm. So now it looks like Andy Cohen's show is actually doing a lot better than it is. But, anyway, it was just the Watch What Happens was the last half hour. And the twins were on. And they were disgusting, of course. And I know I say disgusting too much, but it really can't be said enough when we're talking about the Jersey biatches. And they were going off about, she's like, well, you know, Teresa and I are in a good place now. But, you know, I'm not sorry because that was my mom. That was my mother.
She gave me my first culotta.
My favorite thing was, oh, Victoria Gotti. Oh, she's disgusting. Who cares about her? She's a has-been, and I'm a housewife. So suck on that, Victoria. I'm a housewife, and you're a has-been.
Oh, no, honey. You're a housewife for like 5 minutes. Now, bye. Go scatter off to the Dairy Queen or wherever you came from. Where did culottas come from?
Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin's. Yeah, go back to Dunkin's.
You know, she doesn't use Kegel balls. She just uses Munchkins. She just sticks them up there.
Talk about a yeast infection.
So Victoria Gotti tweeted back after this episode and said, a real housewife, in quotations, should never be compared to a real, R-E-E-L, housewife. Insulting to all hardworking ladies who do keep house, who do raise children without help, who do take care of their husbands, not for the cameras, but for real life. And those R-E-E-L housewives who live in glass houses, all one word, should never hurl stones without being properly informed. No, absolutely no money from Bravo to appear. None requested, none paid. Next! And then her rep said, Victoria did not get paid for her appearance on Real Housewives of New Jersey, so she didn't do anything for money. And as far as her being a liar, well, we have a polygraph test that says otherwise. I contacted the Apreas rep and asked if they would take a polygraph as well to put an end to this whole mess, and it was declined. As a public relations professional, I cannot understand why they keep drawing more and more media attention to a situation which presumably they want to go away.
Jesus. So awful. Everything about this is just awful and annoying. Terrible.
Yeah. And shade. Shade-ay. Okay. Another one is Dina telling off Jim Marchese on Twitter.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah. Because, oh, God.
So Jim says, Abby and Tommy were paid big dollars for their home on Real Housewives of New Jersey. These are the people who donated their home for this
ladybug thing. Wealthy people taking from kids with cancer for profit. Jim Marchese. That guy's so disgusting.
He is.
So he's basically accusing Dina of having this charity and then using all the money she's raising to get a mansion to film in.
Oh, which, please. I don't think Dina would do that.
Which is so stupid. Well, for to be considered a charity, you only have to give a very small percentage of what you make at an event to charity. That's why huge, and I learned about this catering in New York, these charity balls they have cost millions of dollars. They're these huge balls people wear, basically Real Housewives dresses, like those ball gowns and stuff. There's like acrobats and orchestras and famous opera singers, and I mean, they spend millions of dollars on these things, and then maybe they raise a couple million, but they only have to give a certain percentage of that to charity. You know, it's a racket. It is a racket. I'm not saying that hers is, but
right.
Yeah, Jim Marchese is still an asshole, but
yeah.
Anyway, that was his tweet. Then, you know, some random, Dina, please clear this up. Did they get paid to open their house for this charity event? And he wrote back, yeah, Dina, we are waiting. How much was Abby paid?
And he's Dina, such a bitch.
She is. Dina tweeted back, at JL Marchese 111. Jim, shut the fuck up. You know production chose Abby's house. If they paid her, that's their business. We had zero cost. They said that they took money. IMO should have been donated. Is it true, Andy? There you go, showing your true colors, Dina. I thought you were Zen. Get some class.
Why is he engaging? I mean, I know why he's engaging in this, because it's that way people like us talk about it. But he's so awful. Like, you know, Jim, you know what? It goes back to that episode when Dina says, Jim, you're winning. Like, all he had to do is just smile and be nice, and he would have been better than all the other guys on this show and many other shows. But he is now actually below, like he's worse than the Joes. He's worse than, like, Vito or Reno. He's worse than everyone.
Yeah, and
it was like his to lose. I mean, when we first saw them, their kids were like in shirt and tie. They were like well behaved, more or less. It was like, oh, look at this, like a good family. Like, you know, all he had to do was keep his mouth shut and just smile and be polite.
The worst thing about Twitter is that, you know, Dina has people slinging this shit at her, right? So it's Jim. And by the way, I'm getting this on Stupid Housewives, which I love because she's always got so much dirt. But they not only are throwing shit at them, it's like the public gets to throw shit too, you know?
Yeah.
So all these other tweets I'm reading are just from the public. They're not from Jim. They're just from random ass people on Twitter. Just admit Abby did it for money. Why lie and say it was donated? Production does pay big bucks. They paid me big bucks when they filmed Blow and Ali next door to me. Like, okay. Dina, as the founder of Ladybug, shouldn't you have known these arrangements? That money should have gone to the charity. You kiss your husband with that mouth, Dina? Oh, that's right. You kiss your cat with that mouth? You know, people, it's like fucking disgusting. And also a bunch of fucking idiots who don't know how charity works, because charities do have costs and they are allowed to pay. If she had that shit catered, yes, she would have paid for it with the charity's money. And that's how it works, okay? Get over it, poor people who donate nothing.
Yeah.
On Twitter, specifically. Not you any know, of us in real life.
People are awful. I'm losing faith in humanity every passing second.
I never really had it. I was raised in Bible school, so I had that Bible in my brain early, and I was like, whoa, humans are scary. I want no part of this. That's why I stay in bed. I mean, if there was no blogging, I'd be homeless I'd be in a cardboard box. I don't want to go out there. It's just scary out there. I'm perfectly fine in here, okay?
Yeah.
You all have fun out there with your real world.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Real Housewives of New Jersey. Let's move on, Ben.
All right.
What's next?
Do we want to talk briefly before we go to our next show about the fact that Bethany is coming back to Real Housewives of New York?
Sure. What do you think about that?
I'm for it. I feel like that's where
we talked about this.
But now it's official. It is official. She is.
So is she
going to
be a real? Like, is she going to be a full time housewife, or is she a friend?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, because she released a sort of a statement being like, I'm so happy to be back where I belong. You know, that this is where I always shine. She's like, ironically, whenever I'm on this show, I'm not actually a housewife. I'm like, okay. But the fact that she releases sort of a statement about it makes me think that maybe she has a major role. And I also feel like she's the type because she's sort of such a star that she wouldn't just have a minor role. But at the same time, maybe she does just want a minor role to sort of because she's too big. I don't know. They didn't say if she was in anything I read. They never said if she was an actual housewife.
Well, it's interesting because she supposedly got Aviva the job. And Aviva's fired. So it would have been funny for them to keep Aviva just to watch him interact because, you know, that shit would be hilarious.
Oh, my God. I don't think they should have fired Aviva. She's, you know, awful, awful, awful. But she makes for some of the most hilarious confrontations. Like, she must have... There must have been, like, pushback about George. She must have been a pain in the ass to Bravo because I don't think they would have fired her otherwise.
Well, you know, Beth, the reason that Aviva got fired, from what I read, is kind of the same reason that Bethany was so fucking boring in her final season on the show. And that's because she wouldn't interact with anybody. She was, like, on her own. You know, it was all about Bethany's photo shoots, and Bethany's famous now, and Bethany's blah, 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 and she would hardly film with anybody else. And that was Aviva's thing. She wouldn't go on the trips. You know, you kind of have to be part of a group. So I'm hoping it's not like a Kim Zolciak thing where she just refuses to shoot with anybody, and then when they confront her about it, she quits.
Right.
You know? I mean, I think Bethany's probably a little more mature than that. But, I don't know. Bethany... I liked Bethany at first, and then I grew to not like her. And then when she got her talk show, I really grew to not like her. So it'll be interesting to see how she reinvents herself. But right now, I don't really care. As long as it's coming back, I'm good. And I don't like that they're changing it all up and getting rid of Ramona. I mean, that shit was hilarious last year. I know the ratings sucked, but I think the ratings sucked because it was on a Tuesday, not because of...
Yeah, I agree. And also, again, like people have a hard time with new faces, but then at the same time, Renee Zellweger, at the same time, I think Bethany will bring people back to the show.
Yeah, hopefully. Maybe people are just sick of this shit.
Yeah.
And they're getting, you know, Bravo is showing less of them, which is great. Like they're only showing one at a time now, which is a nice change. So they're showing...
I don't think it's going to, yeah.
Well, but do you think it's going
to
last?
I don't think so. I mean, we have Atlanta coming up, but there's no way to physically show just one at a time.
Yeah. Well, Atlanta's coming up, and then Beverly Hills is what, the new year, I guess?
Probably. Because we actually have a lot of stuff coming up because we have Atlanta coming up. Shaw's of Sunset will be coming up soon. We have Vanderpump Rules, which I'm beyond excited about. And then we also have this new show coming out called Euros of Hollywood, which is not about Greek sandwiches. It's about actual Europeans living in Los Angeles. And there was a preview special that aired. And, you know, I saw the preview special this weekend, and I immediately texted you for in case you forgot. and I was like, we're gonna have so much fun with this show.
This show is hilarious.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about what we saw on that preview special.
So this basically just introduced all the characters. So there's this like flaming gay guy who's a straight guy from Italy.
Yes.
Named
Massimo. He's supposed to be straight?
Yeah, he's straight.
Wow, but I'll tell you one thing. This show is really going to challenge our perceptions of gay and straight because there's also another flaming gay.
As does Europe.
Yes.
So there you go.
Massimo, who went into our local Target and was like, you can return anything.
Oh, that's the great thing about America. You can return it. I mean, look, we're going to have to take some accent classes because I can do some of them. I don't know how to do Italian.
The accents are so crazy on this show. But anyway, go on about Massimo.
Because everyone is from somewhere different. So there's him, and he's an actor, but he's not just an actor. He's a actor, director,
model, choreographer.
Dancer, choreographer, singer, probably whore, probably gay whore. And there's a scene that I loved that totally encapsulates his personality and Hollywood's personality together. He's having a meeting with some director.
Yes.
And the director's looking at him like he's a total loser because he's dressed like a woman. He's super flaming and has a really thick accent, which, I mean, you know, you got to work on at least one of those things. You can't just, like, walk
into
a movie.
He's trying to get rid of his accent.
So this director's looking at him kind of cockeyed, like, literally, because the director, I think, wanted a little. And he says, well, what qualifies you to be an actor? And Massimo's like, well, I was a refugee, and we were kicked out of
you know, blah, blah, blah when I was a kid and watching my family be destroyed through the... And you can hear, like, the violin music playing. And the director's like, I'm impressed. You're going to do great here. It's like, gross. That is so gross. He's like, wow, way to exploit your family's pain for a SAG card. Buddy.
Yeah, exactly. The pain of the Yugoslavian war.
Yeah. Croatian. How come everybody born in Croatia is gorgeous? Do you know that?
Well, I don't think this guy's that gorgeous, to be honest.
He's
pretty cute.
I mean, he's probably the ugliest person in the village. No offense, Massimo. Because Croatians are good gorgeous.
They, you know, you're actually right. I think if he had better hair, I would like him more. And better style, too.
And not wear those silk see-through shirts where you can see the bra underneath, like women wear. Yeah. Who does that?
My favorite thing that he did was at one point he tried to do like an American accent, and it was like this crazy Italian, generally sort of like Italian general European version of American. It was like he was like, "Hey there, I'm going to rob you now with my gun."
It's probably how all of our Australian listeners feel about us talking about.
I actually had that thought when I was watching. I was like, "This is probably what Australians think of our Melbourne accents." Like, "Good day, mate. I'm Gina." Oh, Gina. Oh, Massimo. How awful. How terrible.
Oh, Massimo. What a horrible person.
What a horrible accent to have, Massimo.
Oh, he's crazy. They spent, I think, the most time on him. He's like, I love to iron. I iron everything. I want to iron you.
He's like, I love to cook. Although, to be fair, he did look like he put out a good spread.
Yeah. He's going to be hilarious.
Yeah, and by the way, when Europeans in general say, oh, I'm going to cook you something, you should almost always eat it because it's usually amazing.
It's usually got a lot of carbs and cream in it.
Yeah, and it's from his mama.
One time after Gay Pride, I was wasted with my friend, and there was nowhere to go into that wasn't crazy busy because, you know, I live in West Hollywood. And so we stumbled into the Russian place called Traktir.
Oh, I've always wanted to go there.
Okay, I had had booze spilled on me 3 times throughout the day.
Uh-huh.
My friend had someone throw up on his shoe. So we looked and smelled crazy.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what to eat, so we just started pointing at things. And everything they brought was like some kind of a potato dish in cream. Every single thing there with cheese all over it. I'm for it.
That's awesome.
But I think that's also why Russians are so upset all the time. They need more vegetables. Like, they're not getting any positive energy from natural foods. Okay?
Yeah, exactly. Plus also years of hardship. That's also another thing that
But a lot could be solved with fruits and vegetables. I mean, look.
It's true.
Just being healthy changed Renee Zellweger's whole face.
It did. Which is something we spoke about in the bonus episode. Oh, mini plug.
I'm sorry. I get these mixed up.
It's okay. No, we... For those of you who want to hear what we think about Renee Zellweger's face, you can donate to Patreon.
No, that's not good. Free needs to be kept separated, so we're not pissing people off by being like, give us money!
I'll still talk about her face. Don't get me wrong. Way better than the faces of these ladies.
We can talk about her face again. We can just keep talking about her face, like Facebook, for the rest of the week, because that shit is never going to stop.
Yeah,
everybody on Facebook's like, but her face, what do you think? Oh, feminism, what do you think about feminism? Oh, this is wrong. Oh, that's sexist. Oh, but she looks like a horror show. It's like, shut up, Facebook. How about you go back to worrying about Ebola, Facebook? Okay.
Yeah. Great. So then there was a Bliona who is, as she says, the Madonna of Albania, which really does not set the bar very high for herself. I mean,
Madonna's rich, but basically she's just an old slag at this point. I think you should maybe pick, like...
That's like me saying I'm the Terence Trent D'Arby of Bangladesh. Like, okay.
How dare you? Madonna is huge.
No, I mean, Madonna's great, of course. But the Madonna of Albania,
I'm not really sure.
She seems like she'll be a lightning rod for a lot of controversy because she seems like a stubborn bitch.
Well, she's the bitch on wheels.
Yeah, I mean, she is from Eastern Europe, so.
She was a princess.
Oh, I missed that part.
Her family was in power when she was a child, and then someone else came into power, and they were stripped of all their power, which I think is why, as an adult, she goes from being Madonna in one country and then has to start all over in another. It's like some weird pattern this bitch is in.
Yeah.
But basically, she comes here and she's like, I will be a star. I will be a huge star here. Biggest singer in America.
In Albania, if I have an issue, I call Prime Minister. But here, I have to do it myself. So I have to pump my own gas.
Yeah, and I have a soft spot for her because she's like takes care of her parents, which is something I would never do in a million years. I wouldn't even send them cards in the old folks
home. For some reason I didn't see that.
I would if I could. I would totally take care of them. I'd have them live in my basement. I'd throw them down some bones. Be like, hey guys, remember when you sent me to fat camp?
I take care of my parents because I'm Bliona. I'm from Albania, and that's what I do because I'm Madonna of Albania, and Madonna famously takes care of her parents.
I think Madonna cut her brother off, and I haven't heard about the rest of them. I think her mom died when she was young or something.
This is getting sad.
Does she even have parents? I feel like Madonna just sort of appeared one day on planet Earth.
Yeah, she just popped out of somebody. She popped out of a verge.
Well, she clearly has a papa because he preaches a lot.
Oh, that's true. And she's Papa keeping don't her baby. Preach. Yeah, so Papa she's don't the Madonna preach. Of Albania.
Yeah.
She's going to be the one that everybody fights with because she's really rude to everybody. But I'm also going to really enjoy watching her because she does actually go after a musical career, and it's hilarious. She has, like, this outfit built for her out of metal that keeps pinching her.
Yeah, and she also has another out. She also, and her Lexus is, I think, like gold chrome or something like that.
You know, when you go to shows in LA or anywhere really, but especially LA, because I think there's so many fame whores here. When you go see shows, you know, I do improv, so I go see a lot of bad improv shows. Some are really great, but you see a lot of desperately bad shows, and you just feel horrible for people. Or you'll go to an art show from your friend who says they're an artist, and you leave there feeling horrible. But man, you go see a bad singer. That is the best feeling in the world. And I don't know what it is, but there's nothing more entertaining than terrible singers really giving it their all.
Yeah, exactly. And thankfully, Bravo knows how to capture that stuff.
Yeah. So that's Blianca. So what is – it's not
no,
a Bliona.
Blintz. Bliona.
It's not
Bliona.
A Blintz I'm thinking of, but there's like some Blini? Dessert. A Blini. Blini. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bliona Blini.
Yeah, that should be the name of her new album. I'm dropping a new album. It's called Blini, and it's very popular in Albania because I'm sort of like a Blini. I'm like small and full of carbs, and you put little fish eggs on me, and then you eat me. That's fish why I'm playing. I don't know.
My fish eggs I didn't know where I was soon, going. So eat as fast as possible, just like a Blini.
Just like Blini. You know what? You're going to believe in Bliona, so that's why my new album's called Blini.
Believing in Blioni's Bliona Blini.
So all my songs start with Bli. So I have songs. It was originally called What's Love Got to Do with It, but now it's called What's Bluv Got to Do with It. It was a cover from Blina Blurner. I also have my ode to Blaretha Blanklin called Natural Bloomin. BLESPECT. Find out what blespect means to me in Albania.
This girl's going to be a peach. She's the only brunette, and she's going to try and take down every other girl. So don't worry, there's going to still be some girl-on-girl fighting. Well,
you know the girl that they're going to try to take down the most, slash also try to get in with, is the blonde one who's married to Swedish House Mafia. Because she's the only one who seems to have any ties to, like, American pop culture relevance. I mean, I don't remember what she actually does, but her husband is Swedish House Mafia.
She put people together. So here's what I do.
She's from Danish.
I put you together. She'll be like, you make music? You make music? Oh, you be together. Okay, give me percentage. So she's like some kind of group former, I guess. And seeing from what we saw, Bliona's show, not very good at it. But her husband's super adorable. Love him. Huge fan. Yeah.
Yes, he makes very nice music. Although he retired, right? Didn't they like...
Yeah. He's done.
Yeah. Yeah, he's over. She's probably one that they're all gonna kiss ass. And then there's the guy Sasha, he's from Germany, and he's like, you know, he's like a DJ, but
he's the
like,
DJ from Germany.
He's a DJ, and he's got like a family on Skype who clearly are going to leave him. And then he also has a boutique, so he's like very like, you know, fashion forward.
Yeah, this guy,
This guy's older. I would say he's like 40s, early to mid. He's got what looks like a 20-year-old wife and two kids on a webcam back home. And he's like, I will bring my kids here, but I want to make sure that I have an empire for them. And I'm like, you want to make sure you can suck as much dick as you possibly can before that 20-year-old comes over here and learns how to break into your Craigslist emails.
By the way, I just want to pause and say, so I was trying to remember their name, so I did a search for the cast. I went into Starcasm, and they there's a picture of the cast. And in the picture, Massimo has, like, dreadlocks. He looks like Sean Paul, the reggae singer. And Bliona is wearing, like, a pink bathing suit. But it looks like they're at some sort of, like, event, but she's wearing a bathing suit, and everyone else is in full clothes.
Love it.
This show's going to be amazing.
Yeah, this show's going to be great. So this DJ guy... he's like big and strong and he owns his own business, and his best friend is this other kind of obviously gay guy. I mean, it's Europe, so you don't know. Okay. But at first I just assumed they were lovers, right? Because they both, I mean, they look like Siegfried and Roy. They really do. Like the surgery, the dye, the working out. I'm waiting for the white feather coats because you know they've got them.
Right.
But they're both straight apparently, so that's weird. And then the other guy's like super rich and owns, jewelry. He's like,
yeah, that's Yannick Olander, who I think he's Danish, and I thought for sure, I was like, oh, for sure this guy is gay. Like, it wasn't me being catty or like looking into anything. I was just like, oh, done deal, he's gay. And then it turns out that he has like a little girlfriend.
Yeah, and then he has like a 22-year-old girlfriend. So my question is, what do women in their 30s do in Europe? Because they ain't getting fucked. I mean, I thought it was bad enough here in LA, but it seems like these guys will only date people who are 20 or 20, 21 years old. I mean, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a European? Well, it's an American thing, too.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I don't know, my friends of my age are still getting laid. I mean, right. it is a tougher road to hoe, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
You hoe roads.
Yeah. You know, maybe in the beginning, like if you were in the 18th century and you needed to get the dirt out there instead of grass to start laying down things. I would hoe it. I would hoe that road. Hoe that road. That's going to be the new like tagline from someone on Atlanta this season.
But I love this Jonic guy who's talking about his girlfriend. And he's like, oh, if she gets mad at me, then, you know, she won't have sex with me. And she won't talk to me. And she's mean to me. Welcome to America.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You make your woman happy up in here. You'll pay.
Yeah. I also, by the way, just for reference, the girl, the Swedish House Mafia girl, unsurprisingly, she's from Sweden, and her name is Isabel. Just wanted to get those facts out there, lest people are really curious.
Well, there's a couple of them who look exactly the same. There's like a slut who had a, who's like a one-hit wonder in Japan.
So that woman, that she's going to be hilarious.
Another blonde girl who looks just like her, but no, she's...
Isabel is the blonde one. Isabel is from Sweden. She and the other blonde girl look the same. Now, the other blonde girl, her name is Fawny. No last name. It's just Fawny. And she's from Austria. Yeah, she had a song called It's All About You that was a number one hit in Japan. And that's it. And when she introduced herself, she was like, well, you know, I had a number one hit in Japan. I just lost it. I just started laughing. I mean, this show is so amazing. But now she paints.
Yeah, now she's a painter.
Yeah. And she also, like, she's like, cheated on her boyfriends.
Oh, yeah. She's like, everything that moves, I want to fuck it. That was one of her quotes from the show.
I want to fuck it and make a painting about it and sing a song that'll be popular in South Korea.
Yeah, this... My main thought in watching this... First of all, I was smiling the whole time I watched this preview. Like, I'm going to love this.
Yeah.
And my second thought was, this is the difference between this show, to me, and Shaw's, at least so far. Because Shaw's, I mean, that show, I don't like that show. But this show, I think I'm going to really like it because these are people who are positive for the most part, even the crazy ones.
Yeah.
And they're really trying to make it in a new place on their own. And I really like that. I respect that.
Yeah. I actually, and I also, believe it or not, feel like, even though they're like all very douchey and ridiculous and like classic Eurotrash, there is something where I do feel like they probably actually are skilled and talented in their own ways, you know? Like, the Shaw's people, they're all just doing real estate, and I don't know. I don't know how talented... You know, when I look at Asa,
and
I don't
spending think all And, like, Asa, spending all your parents' money and driving around, like, a white fucking Bentley or whatever, while your parents are living in East Hollywood in some shithole.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, I'm very excited about the show. And in fact, so my friend Julia works with a production company that does this show. So I'm going to see if she can maybe pull some strings. Maybe some of these people can come on our show. That would be hilarious. I love that, by the way. It started off, we wanted Renee Zellweger to come on the show. That was also on the bonus episode. That's something you need to look forward to. We talked about our plans to get Renee Zellweger to come on the podcast. And we went from Renee Zellweger down to, who was the next one we wanted on the show? Oh, Thomas Ravenel. No, oh yeah, Thomas Ravenel, though. We're like, oh, maybe Thomas Ravenel will come on. And now we're down to the Euros of Hollywood. We've revised our expectations for Massimo. Oh,
that shit's funny. I'm going to love this show.
Yeah.
Love it already.
And I'm telling you, it's going to love you.
I feel it coming. So next, let's move on to Below Deck.
Below Deck, our season finale.
Shall we? So goodbye, Below Deck. Goodbye. Job there.
Goodbye.
So they had that kind of... Okay.
Yeah.
So you remember when I finally gave in and started watching this show?
Yeah.
Like mid-season, I guess?
Yeah.
And it was the episode with the penis pillow where she did the penis pillow, which wasn't that many episodes ago, but I was refusing up until that episode. And then I thought it was hilarious. Well, I only watched the second half of that. So I saw Kate saying, well, if he's calling me a bitch, well, fuck him. And then she makes a penis pillow. I rewatched that episode because there was a marathon of it. And he didn't do anything wrong. He just said you seem kind of robotic and bitchy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even think that was bad.
It's not the worst offense, but it's still, I don't know. I feel like
I was way meaner to him than I should have been about that comment, because that really wasn't. She way overreacted. But I still really love her. And it was a fun show. I mean, not a whole lot happened. But that same guy came back as the final charter guest. But this time it was with a bunch of, like, 25-year-old queens he was probably having sex with in the back. What does he do? Is he, like, a modeling agent or something?
No, he has, like, nightclubs, I think, in Phoenix.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Glamorous job.
A lot of hot gays.
Yeah. Hot gays in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Their charter was like a perfectly lovely charter. To me, the big story of this episode, the thing that I thought was funniest was Janice and Kelly, and how, like Janice, who spurned Kelly's advances for 3/4 of the season. And then finally was like, okay, I like you. Now she's like, I can't wait to go back to Fort Lauderdale and then we can continue our romance, 'cause it's real. And he's like, yeah. And like, the funny thing with Kelly is anytime there's something he doesn't want to talk about, he kind of like, he burps. He sort of does that thing where he starts talking and then he lets out a quiet burp. He's like, you know, he's like, well, yeah, well, when we go to Fort Lauderdale, so yeah. And she's like, are we in love? I was like,
no,
bitch, you should have.
So needy. Stop it.
We said it all season long. She is Janice, plain and short, and she should have been so lucky to have that hot guy with the big wang going after her, and she should have taken advantage while she could have, and then she took too long to lock it down, and now he's
one of those people
moving
you've got to be really wary of when you're dating, because they don't care about you or what you're thinking or what you look like. They just need somebody to be with at all times, and that's it. They will be committed, and they will be as in love as they can, but they don't care. It's just all about them being needy, you know? And then she's crying because she doesn't know what she's doing next. No one knows what they're doing next. You people are temps. You're temp maids, all right? You're maids on a boat. You go find another boat. You put an ad on Craigslist, okay? That's what you do. You don't just try and, you know, get with some hot guy. Like, what's he going to do? He's not going to strip. He's already been on TV. He can't just be a stripper now.
Yeah. And by the way, I've noticed that Kelly seems to be smoking more than ever. I have concerns about that. He has to stop smoking because it's not attractive.
Yeah, I like in that new – well, it's not new anyway, but that Tina Fey movie that just came out where she's part of a big family and the dad dies and they all have to go home. It's with James Fonda.
Yeah.
Her brother lights up a cigarette and she takes it out of his mouth and throws it out the window. And she's like, it's 2014. Let's move past this.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, Kelly's like, he's way too attractive to be smoking cigarettes. He's going to age his face, and that's no good.
Yeah, that's not good.
I have a lot of concerns about Kelly, you know? I want to make sure he's exploiting his hotness to the full degree.
Yeah, he's making as much income as he possibly can from that hotness for as long as possible.
Yeah. So which do you think of these people, who do you think is going to come back next season? Because some of them were holdovers from last season. I don't think Kat's going to come back because she wasn't as crazy this time around. But I think Kate,
she'll come back.
I think Kate will be back.
Kat, the chef, Kate, yeah. And Alex P. Keaton.
Yeah, but Alex P. Keaton didn't. I mean, everyone likes Alex P. Keaton guy, but but he's not really that interesting. He didn't add much. I don't think Janice will be back.
He's not interesting, but he's the guy who's like, well, we got to stay on track. We got to do our job. There's details.
Suddenly he shot him, Shannon Bedore. Like, David, we got to get the slide out. David.
Yeah, it's just that naggy, you know, like the only one who's pretending like he actually had a job. When they were showing that part where they were saying goodbye to the guests, I was like, come on, stand up straight. I mean, Jesus Christ. They're like, leaning on the railing. It was just very lazy looking.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, stand up straight and act like professionals. You fucking, they're just like, bye, have fun. Thanks for coming. Thanks for that 16 grand you just gave us.
I know. I think that Eddie will not be back. I think that Kat will not be back. But I think that
Which one's Kate Eddie will... now?
Eddie is Alex B. Keaton.
Oh, uh-huh, okay.
I think that Kate will be back because I love Kate. She's such a bitch, but I love her. She will be back. Ben will be back. Kelly might come back because he's hot. And I think that's it.
No, recast everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, you can always find a busybody, you know, guy, Bosun, who wants to, like, get order, you know, have yeah. order. Also, by the way, how about that dance party they threw? It was, like, for... basically like a seventh grade dance. They like hung up like random jungle decorations
hung a bear by his neck,
and then they put like whiskers on their
Is that allowed on Bravo? There's kind of like, a history there.
Too soon.
You just can't be stringing up bears and pretending like nothing ever happened. Okay.
Yeah it's funny because Taylor Armstrong just has something on Bravo right now that's like Life After Russell.
No, she doesn't. What is it?
Yeah, I just saw it right now when I was looking at the Euros of Hollywood cast.
Here, she I'm got gonna... a show or what?
No, it's just like a blog entry.
Oh, okay.
It's like this is what it's like without Russell.
Oh, please don't even get me started on that woman.
Here, it's literally the top story.
I said, don't get me started.
From 4 hours ago, she says, "I don't know if you ever move on from suicide." But nevertheless, I've moved on. She doesn't say that, but,
yeah.
You know, I mean, she has started.
Yeah, it was really hard for you to move on. You were fucking the lawyer in the case that began before your husband died. So
she says, for my daughter's sake, I can't dwell on the past. I have to look to the future. And I do bring up her father. We work with a child psychologist. It's not as though we pretend someone disappeared in her life. Yes, good job not dwelling in the past as you give an interview about it to Bravo.
Yeah, to get a little publicity that you no longer have. Shut up, yeah. Taylor. Go away, Taylor. Zip yourself up in that suitcase and go through checkout. Okay?
No, I am very much of the don't go away, Taylor, because I think she's kooky. And I think I would like to see her on Below Deck. I'd like to see her do a charter.
I would like to see her locked Below Deck.
She would be crying. Yeah, let's see her. Let's see her be a stew.
So Below Deck was a really fun show to watch, but I don't have much to say about it.
Yeah, I didn't have much to say about this episode. I really enjoyed it. And you know what I also enjoyed in a weird way? I enjoyed the whole goodbye segment because it's been so long since I've seen like a reality show where people say goodbye at the end. Because I don't watch The Real World anymore. And Jersey Shore is gone. So it's sort of fun sometimes to watch those shows where at the end of the season everyone says goodbye. And you're like, what will happen to their lives? They're moving on.
And what did Amy say? She's like, being on a ship is like being in a can of tuna. Ends. And sometimes you get to the end and it tastes metallic. It's like, what? That didn't even make any sense.
Oh, that's great.
What did she say, though? It was like some...
I don't remember.
Being
I was...
on a boat is like...
some dribble.
Yeah. She's so
and the other guy was like, the new guy was like, oh, I was just getting into the swing of things and now it's over. I feel like it's been cut short. I'm like, be quiet. You know, because he's the one who every time they cut to him, he's got a toothpick in his mouth like a cigarette, which I hate. That's like... I hate when people do that. It just drives me nuts. Like, it's not a real cigarette. Stop trying to act like you're cool with a toothpick in your mouth. Just spit it out, you former fatty.
Oh, that guy?
Yeah. Lucas or something.
Yeah, that guy's cute.
He's cute. He is. he's really nice, actually.
He can suck a toothpick. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so bye. Bye to that show. Bye to Below Deck. Well, they have a reunion next week, right?
Next week they have a Secrets Revealed. So I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming they're going to have a reunion after that. It's weird that they didn't promote that, a reunion.
Yeah,
but they're having
a weird time in Bravo because it's like the worst season of Jersey ever. Below Deck, which was good, but you don't have a lot to talk about with that show.
Yeah, oh, except for last week. And by the way, you made me eat crow, as they say, because I was like, I don't think that guy's a douchebag. I really don't think he's a douchebag. And then what did he do?
Oh,
he
went onto your site. I mentioned this.
He went onto your site, and he was a huge douchebag.
He had a fucking cow.
Yeah.
So he goes on to Trash Talk TV to the recap there. The recapper of the show is really funny. She's a good writer. So she's ripping him apart, of course. And he goes on there and starts defending himself in the comments. And that the comment thread got up to like 150 or whatever comments on Below Deck, which is unheard of.
Wow.
Because he just wouldn't let it go. And he's calling everybody poor and stupid. And he's like, well, I'm rich. And that's why I'm rich. And then so people started posting links about how he's a fraud. And everybody knows he's a fraud. And he's been sued for it. And
blah, I love blah, those.
It was really fun to watch because he'll still come on if you post something. He'll still come on and be like, nope, but I'm rich and you're poor.
Well, I take it all back.
Douche.
Everyone, I was wrong. And unlike most reality stars, I could admit that I was wrong. And it won't be a whole drawn out thing. I apologize to the listeners for giving this guy.
Well, some people were on your side, actually. Well, your side from last week. And they were like, well, they did act completely immature or whatever. And his arguments weren't really saying I'd talked to the crew and tried to make sure there was strong internet because I knew I couldn't go on a boat without internet. You know, I specifically asked for foods that they ignored. Like, all that stuff was true. It's just he's such a douchebag. It doesn't make him less of a douchebag, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the crew being wrong doesn't make him less of a douchebag.
Right.
So fuck that guy. Fuck you,
fuck
dude.
Him. All right, fuck him. By the way, there's something else we didn't mention last week that we actually have to mention, which is that we have to give a shout-out to XOT Shoes. This has nothing to do with Bravo, but we have to give a shout-out because XOTShoes.com sent us some shoes. And we can't just accept shoes and not, you know, say that, not give them props. Because,
oh, yeah, thanks, you guys.
So this is a random, I guess, semi-commercial sponsor, whatever moment, just product placement. Thanks. XOTShoes.com. They gave us free shoes, so go check them out, everyone. Go send them some business.
Guys. Anybody wants to send us things, please just feel free to do that.
Okay? Yeah, we love things like fancy new shoes. So anyway, that was that.
Okay, XOTShoes.com. The other show that we have, real quick, to talk about is Top Shift.
Top Chef is back.
Sudden Death
in Boston. It's a wicked good season so far.
Everything in Top Chef was it's sudden death.
I know. You know, Top Chef is continuing this tradition that's popped up on a lot of reality shows where it's like before the season even begins, one of you will be eliminated. And I'm like, I hate when people do when shows do that because I'm like, you know, it's like not fair. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to us.
Like, I kind of did like that it was a Mike Isabella friend.
That's what I did like. I did like that, and I did like that. This person before they were eliminated, they were put through the paces a little bit. It wasn't like an arbitrary thing, like Amazing Race when they do those things where like one of you will be eliminated before the race even begins. It's like the last person to find a clue suddenly isn't allowed to do the race. That's so stupid.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did like that.
You know, at first everybody's very well behaved. I will say, I feel like Gail's fucking with me at this point because she showed up in another terrible floral dress. Why, Gail? Why?
Bye.
The internet has been telling you for what, 10 years now, 11 years. What season is this?
You know? Like 45.
Yeah. Gail, I mean, you're so cute. What's with the flower? What are you doing? Why are you doing that? Stop it. It's not Better Homes and Gardens, okay? Lucille Ball is dead. Accept it. Move on.
I love Gail. Poor Gail. Poor Gail.
Poor Gail. I love Gail too.
I have to say, Padma was like a little ornery this episode, and I liked it.
Oh yeah, Padma's a bitch from hell. I think that Padma's probably always a bitch from hell.
Yeah.
I don't understand why everybody's so surprised.
That's what I've heard. I've heard she's a bitch from hell, and I think I've told the story on this show before that I did meet her once when I was doing a red carpet event, and like one of the two times I did red carpet, I saw her. She looked absolutely stunning, and she was so warm and wonderful, and she answered my question like a pro. So I was like, I love Padma, but every single other person who's had to deal with her on a professional level does not have great things to say.
Well, I mean, I like that she's a total bitch because those chefs are total bitches too. They're all such douchebags. It's like, shocker, a chef is a douchebag. They are such diva douchebags who've all been to prison. So I don't know what that's about.
I liked when she like went up to that one guy, and it was at the event during the elimination challenge, and she was like, well, she's like, I hope that you not only clean up your act, but your station too. And she just walked away. I was like, whoa, Padma.
And then she kept talking about him. She's like, I mean, that was messy. Messy, mess. Like, wow.
And she was obnoxious to someone during the quickfire too, I think. Or, I don't know, she said something where I was like, wow, she is not happy right now.
Oh, I like this one because they got a lot of really good chefs who've worked for big people. So everybody, they're like, to introduce yourself. I love how Padma always talks like this. She's like, tell us a little bit about yourself. And he's like, well, I've worked for Chef Boyardee, and I've worked for Lean Cuisine and Marie Callender. And she's like, wow, you've worked under a lot of big people. I understand what that feels like. You know, it's like, Jesus.
She's like, I literally work under Tom Colicchio, and he's a very big man.
I've literally worked under some of the biggest publishing giants, television reality stars, movie producers.
My ex-husband had a fatwa out on him, which was a very big responsibility for me. What was I going to say? So what did you think about the fact that they didn't have the chefs sit in the stew room? They brought them in to watch the deliberations.
I hope that doesn't last because stew room's great. Like watching, because they get them shit faced back there. They just give them boxes of wine and then they tape those segments for like 8 hours.
Yeah,
those are like a whole separate day that we learned that those are taped in, and so they get shit faced over the course of the day, and that's when they really act like idiots and make fools of themselves, and that's what's fun. I mean. You know, it's a show that it's fun to watch because it's a show about skill, right? So it's not just stupid drama. It's actually about people who are trying to do something with their lives. But, you know, it is reality TV, so it is fun to see people make asses of themselves.
Right.
So yeah, I like the stew room.
I like the stew room, too. I hope they don't force them to be stuck in there. I liked it last season when they got to watch some of the judging, right? And then they would,
they had the TVs.
Yeah, I like that. That was a good touch. I didn't like this. This new twist. Hopefully, it won't be permanent. And how do you feel about Richard Blaise being a judge?
I hate Blaise.
Yeah,
I've always hated him since his first season. And when he's telling this girl olive oil snow is one of his least favorite techniques, that guy uses fucking antifreeze and everything or whatever it's called. What do you call it?
Well, yeah.
Liquid ice or whatever it is.
Liquid nitrogen.
But then suddenly someone else does it and he's like, oh, how passe. That was so my season. Shut up.
Yeah.
Just shut up, please.
I know. He, his first season, I hated him. His second season, I actually grew to like him. Now, I like that he got rid of his faux hawk. His hair looks much better. But there is like a little cockiness that's going on that I'm not liking. There's a little bit of that like
arrogant.
It's like the college kid who comes back to high school and is like, oh my god, college is amazing, you know? I don't hate him, but he's rubbing me the wrong way. I much prefer Emeril. I mean, I like him more than Hugh Atchison. Because Hugh Atchison was
like Hugh.
I like Hugh too. No, I thought that Hugh Atchison was kind of an asshole. I thought he was like
Hugh is an asshole and he's extremely douchey. But he's just like a cad, you know? He's like charming.
He is a cad, cute. But the thing is this, that's what's annoying about him is that he's like funny and he's a cad or whatever. But deep down, he's actually a huge asshole. He's not one of those assholes that you know is an asshole and therefore it's sort of like awesome that he's an asshole. He's just someone who's like sort of gives off this appearance that he's like really funny, but he's actually a sarcastic asshole. So
I like him because I think he's just charmingly funny and not a total ass. I mean, he is an asshole, but I don't know. I accept that chefs are going to be assholes in general, but I don't know. He's got a certain charm, and I also like that he gave our site credit for inventing the term unibrow, because
that's
recapper
cool.
did, Alejandra, cool. And he, like, did. You know, he gave our guy credit. So okay. I was like, you're a good man. So maybe that's why, you know.
I'll give him credit. Listen, he's not the worst. I just find that sometimes he's, like, a real
asshole.
And
he was good-natured. Like, he would tweet back to the recaps because she would rag on him bad. And he would tweet back and stuff. So,
okay, that gives me more respect.
He seems to be good-natured is what I'm trying to say.
That gives me more respect for him. And I do like – I do think that his criticisms of the food are – like, I have no problems with that. And I think – that's good. Whereas Richard Blaze is like a little, again, like he's a little too young for this, I feel.
Blaze, I feel like his first season, he was a total douche. His second season, he was just in repair mode. So he was pretending to be nice. And then his third season, he was a total douche again.
Yeah.
And it was hard to watch him. I mean, when you're out douching Marcel, I mean, Marcel was actually the nice one. And he was like, oh, Marcel's an idiot. That guy can't do anything. If he beats me, I'm a real loser. You know, like, he was just mean, and I don't like him.
Yeah.
Don't like him. And either way. I hope that he goes the way of that other guest judge they brought on, or not guest, but that other judge they brought on years ago who wrote
Toby Young. Toby Young was awful.
Alienate people.
Toby Young was the worst that they've had, by far.
But people must love Blaze because he's all over the place. He's all over Food Network. He's all over this. I mean, he's got a good agent, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think people do like him. I think that when he won Top Chef All-Stars, he had a very endearing run. And people liked it because he was always so nervous and he never thought he was going to win anything. So
he was faking it.
Probably, but it's okay. By the way, I just want to say, I just went on to my list of the best Real Housewives thing. And people are voting because I put it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. And so now everything has changed. Remember I said before that Danielle Staub was at the bottom and everything? Uh-huh. Danielle Staub has now risen to number 24 out of 31. And Tamara Barney is now officially at the bottom. And she's followed by Caroline Manzo, which I think is sort of hilarious.
Well, then how do you explain that whole thing when they just had the Best Housewives real vote?
Yeah.
And...
well, it's a different.
Caroline Manzo was number two.
Well, first of all, you got to think that
was
first
like
of all,
a nationwide vote.
First this of all, it's different pools of people. So, if you think about it, E is going to go. First of all, it pulls from a larger sample, but it also pulls from people who watch E. And I'm not saying that those people aren't reading this thing, but if I just sent this out to our listeners, it's mainly our listeners who've been voting right now. Our listeners may have different opinions than like the prevailing majority of the country, and by that I mean more informed and better opinions. But it's just a different sample pool. Hopefully it will get out, and then we'll to like the larger masses. It'll be fun to see how this changes. But it's cool to see how, since we started this podcast, there were like 20 votes cast, and now there are 1500 votes, which is, by the way, shows how impressive our Facebook page is. That's really cool. Thanks, everyone. 1500 votes in an hour.
Of our Facebook page, since we're about to wrap up, I'm looking at our page and there is so much here that we still haven't talked about. It's so frustrating. But I want to mention some of this stuff. Please talk about the DeBros leaving OC. Did not know that. Bethany returning. We talked about that. The Brooke scandal. That he has cancer, or is there another scandal?
There's like a Brooke scandal every week. It's like Brooks ate a pancake. Oh no.
And then Michael Cook tweeted that the entire cast of New Jersey is being brought back for next season. They all got signed.
Michael Cook, you've just ruined my day. But Michael Cook
enough to watch next season that we can just skip that show entirely.
But Michael Cook also made my day because he said that Made in Chelsea. He sent along a link that Made in Chelsea, which is like sort of like the British version of The Hills, is coming to Bravo, called Made in Chelsea, New York, I believe. I've actually never seen the original Made in Chelsea, but my friends are obsessed with it, and I've been wanting to watch it. And I keep telling them, let's all sit down and watch like a marathon of it and drink wine. And they're like, yes, let's do it. And then they'll be like, oh, sorry, Ben, we watched all the episodes yesterday.
You know what that happens? I'll watch it with you.
I will do that with
Maybe
you.
Maybe we can picture in picture Grand Theft Auto in one TV, in one picture.
Oh, yeah.
And play that while we're watching Made in Chelsea.
Oh, my God. Everyone, I showed Ronnie Grand Theft Auto like last week or 2 weeks ago, and it was so fun.
Oh, yeah. I know Grand Theft Auto, but I don't know 5.
I'm sorry. Grand Theft Auto 5. You were great, Ronnie. You did a great job.
It was amazing to beat the crap out of people randomly.
Yeah.
Commit crimes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I forgot how empowering that game was.
You did a great job.
Oh, Ben.
You were killing people like none other. Running them over, crashing your car.
Yeah, that's the way to live, man.
It is. And you
good mood all week.
And you completed a mission. You played as Chop the dog.
I sure did.
Yeah.
That was a fun one. I got to fuck another dog even.
Yeah. Yes.
That was really cool. So that's it. We're basically going to be shooting people on the internet all week.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back next week. There is no Jersey.
No, there's like a secrets reveal.
Reunion. There's like some secrets bullshit. Yeah. So if there's something that you want us to watch, why don't you just come on our Facebook page and tell us? And maybe we can try something new for next week because we're going to be low on show. That's for sure.
Yeah, low on
show. So just suggest stuff that you want us to talk about, and we'll have a special episode next week where we can just talk about shit.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Come find us on Facebook.com/WhatsWhatCrappens if you want to become a premium subscriber and get a bunch of extras like ringtones and bonus episodes and Google Hangouts stuff, parties. Come to Patreon.com/WhatCrappens. Thank you to everybody who's supporting us. And for all of our social media links, just come, or the Patreon link, or whatever you need, any information, just come to watchwhatcrappens.com, okay?
Mm-hmm. Sounds great.
Okay, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks. Have a great week.
Thank
you. If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.